Thanks for being with us on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick. Some actors wait a lifetime to land a role where they can showcase their full talent. Most never get that chance at all. For Leslie Odom Jr., the chance came at the relatively young age of 34 when he first helped rock Broadway and America as Aaron Burr in Hamilton.
Theodosia writes me a letter every day. I'm keeping her bed warm while her husband is away. He's on the British side in Georgia. He's trying to keep the colonies in line. Well, he can keep all of Georgia. Theodosia, she's mine. Love doesn't discriminate.
Leslie Odom Jr. left the cast of Hamilton back in the summer of 2016. So now the question is, what's next?
I want to walk through all the doors that were not open before the phenomenon that I was so lucky to be a part of. And so film is one of those things. Those were not things that were easy to get. They're still not. And music is the other thing.
Right now, Leslie Odom Jr. is tackling film. He's on movie screens across the country in Murder on the Orient Express and also music. The deluxe edition of his album Simply Christmas is out now. I sat down with Leslie Odom Jr. to talk about the legacy of Hamilton and, honestly, how you do another Christmas album.
I wanted it to be like a prime quality cut of meat. You know, a really well-chosen cut of steak. I know there's vegans out there. NPR listeners, I know there's a lot of vegans. I'm talking to a lot of vegetarians right now.
They know what steak is.
But yeah, you know, really prime cut of tofu. something that didn't need steak sauce. You didn't need, you know, salt and pepper, just that it was just perfect. And so anything that didn't need to be there was stripped away. So some songs are just piano, and some songs, of course, we have the, you know, the big band feel. Every song on the record, for me, I know exactly why it's there, and felt like we managed to get to a version that felt authentic to who we were and felt necessary and classic at the same time.
Do you have a favorite on this album?
My favorite would probably be the first track and the last track. When you're making music these days, you can't assume that people are going to listen all the way down. You hope people listen all the way down, but just in case they don't, I mean, you kind of, those first three tracks are important. So the first track is my personal favorite, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's the Christmas song that I've been singing the longest in my life.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
I think we managed to make a recording of it that feels, I hope, fresh and authentic to who we are, but, you know, also feels classic and timeless in a way, something that will sound good today. And if it makes its way into the traditions of your family, that's something that'll sound good 15 years from now, too, when you put it on. So that's my favorite. And then the last track, too, I do love the Ave Maria. That was the first time that I got to sing the Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Done, I think, at Christmas time in the Catholic Church all the time, but we didn't. It wasn't something that was around when I was growing up, but it's so beautiful.
Leslie, I read that you performed in a Baptist church when you were a kid. Is that right?
Yeah, we don't call it performing, but I did sing in a I sang in a Baptist church all growing up. You know, I sang in the choir, and that's where I learned about singing in key and singing in harmony and pitch and all that stuff.
Did that help propel you to the stage? Did it really have anything to do with it? A lot of kids sing in church, of course, but maybe for you it was something more.
If it does relate to performing in any way, it kind of connects, because there's dancing in church. I didn't dance in church, but there, you know, there's dancers, especially these days, you know, I think they call them praise dancers and stuff in church. Mm-hmm. What it does is that it can connect art to ministry, which that jives with me. You know, Hamilton for me felt like ministry. My concerts today, I look at them like ministry, in that hopefully when I do my job right, the focus really isn't on you. The focus is the eternal and the inspiration and the magic in all of us, you know, that comes from somewhere else.
Hamilton was ministry for you. People love that show, Ministry. Why?
Because I think that the truth is ministry. For me, you know, God is love, God is truth. And so whenever you're on stage talking about either one of those two things, it feels like ministry to me. That's what it feels like. It just connected to like the deepest parts of myself, you know, like DNA level, you know, what Lynn was able to talk about in this show that was about us and wasn't about us. You know, it's about these old dead white men, but it's still kind of about us right now. And what he was able to get to felt to me as honest and as rich as anything you'd find in your Bible.
I think for a lot of Americans, Hamilton was a form of secular ministry. It was a way for people to celebrate their history in a way that they connect to in the modern way, recasting it with a diversity that it was robbed from.
Yeah.
The first time around.
You know, Broadway is difficult because you're chained to the theater. I mean, you know, you're there every single night. But now, not being out of the show, I still get the benefits of singing in my concerts. I sing songs from the show and stuff from the albums, of course. But I'm connecting with people who didn't have access to the show in New York, and some they don't have access sometimes to the show in L.A. And what I'm finding out is that people's connection to it is very special to them because it's something that people my age, I'm in my mid-30s, it's something that people my age share with their parents and their children. There's not many things in our society that we share across generational boundaries like that, or across cultural or religious boundaries. You know, there's not many things that unite us around a dinner table culturally, and Hamilton was that thing for people.
What does that show mean in the Trump era?
I think it means the same thing it meant before the Trump era. People are going to have to live with the choices that they make. When there's a movement that is speaking to the worst of who we are, when there's a movement that is designed to bring about derision and separation and ugliness, you know, that just brings about the worst of who we are, and you participate in that. Maybe it's not now, but I think eventually you have to answer for that. You know, karma makes you answer for that. And you talk about the microphone. I do not say anything on my microphone that I would not say to the President of the United States' face. You know, I think sometimes that's the flaw of an artist, I think, or the people that have the microphones. It's like, you can say whatever you want, as long as that's something you would say to someone's face. If you had a face-to-face meeting, and you would you take that tone? I think what I'm trying to say is there seems to be a pull to the worst of who we are, to our basest instincts, and you have to fight that. You have to rise above that. We can talk about anything. We can have discourse, but we got to keep it respectful, even if the President of the United States won't.
Leslie Odom Jr., you know him as Aaron Burr from the hit musical Hamilton. He's got a re-release of his Christmas album, Simply Christmas. It's out now. Merry Christmas to you, Leslie Odom Jr. Thank you for being here.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me.
Bells will be ringing, the sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone. By candlelight, please come home for Christmas. Please come home for Christmas. Yeah, if not by Christmas, then New Year's night. Friends and relations, send salutations. Sure as the stars shine above, but this is Christmas,
my dear. It's the time of year to be with the one you love. So won't you tell me that you're never more wrong. Christmas and New Year will find.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.